Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Up 3-1 against the Bucks yesterday with that 126-113 victory. And I think all can agree that maybe the trade for Pascal Siakam working out pretty good. But it was Miles Turner, 38 minutes, 10 for 17 from the floor, 7 for 9 from three-point range. Ending the night with 29 points. It's just nutty. Nutty. Halliburton with 24. You've got game 5. That's tomorrow. Wait, so yeah, game 5 is back in Milwaukee, right? Yes, it is. Wrap this up, go home. Take it in 5, get a little rest. What else could you want for him? Nah, this was, you see, the overtime win back on Friday was good. I think this was, last night was demoralizing for the Bucks, or at least one can hope. Happy to see him get the win. Only hope to see some more playoff basketball going on downtown. Speaking of downtown, what happened with this whole Indy 11 thing? Which is a much bigger story than Major League Soccer. There are multiple pieces to this. What's the future with a mayor who goes not only rogue, but can't be trusted? Who is this new possible ownership group of a Indy 11 team? Where does this put the Indy 11? Ersol Özdemir is the owner of the Indy 11. He's scheduled to be with us at 7:15 to discuss this. I have no idea. I have not spoken with him except for a little bit of texting, which was only a, my gosh, what's happening? And, then through the Indy 11 coordinated up the interview. So we're going to find out what happened behind the scenes. Let's see if he tells us. What comes next? Let's see if he tells us. Is there anything that the Indy 11 thinks is salvageable? But there are other parts of the conversation. What exactly is Joe Hogsett doing? And if you say to me, Tony, it's soccer, no one cares. that's a non-statement. Let me give you an example of a non-statement. It was Meghan McCain. You know Meghan McCain, and you know she's the daughter of late Senator John McCain, and she really wants you to know it. This was her post on social media. Quote, there are too many failed actors and failed theater kids in conservative media. I have no idea what that's supposed to mean. I have no idea what that is supposed to mean. Except for, hey, look at me, I'm Meghan McCain. Allow me to, you know, share how everybody else is just doing it wrong, and not everybody's as legitimate as I. And good Lord, could you just on the pompousness, just bring it down a little bit, just a little bit. That'd be great. Is Joe Hogsett somebody I believe is really the first person to say, you know, go for Major League Soccer? No. So why is he now going through this appeal? And for the people saying it's just soccer, it's no big deal. Okay, we get it. You're an elitist. It's terrific. You know better than the rest of us. But this is happening. There are huge dollars at play. And most importantly, there is a fan base. Maybe not you, but there is a fan base. But it's how the Hogsett team has acted. That's a part of this story. I will have the interview with Ersal Özdemir scheduled for 7:15. Be sure to tune in. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Don't, Shannon. Look, if you want to get these hostages released, you've got to, first of all, enable Israel to actually finish the job. And second of all, put America's diplomatic weight behind and on Hamas, right? Pressure Hamas to release these hostages. Don't use America's diplomatic leverage to effectively cause the Israelis to pull back here. I think it's really shameful and shows, frankly, that a lot of folks don't respect the United States of America, that we have still have citizens that are being held hostage.
Well, Senator Vance, I think you're going to need to amend that a little bit. This isn't about other nations seeing us in a respectful way. This is about whether or not we see ourselves in any kind of way.
And our president, instead of focusing on getting those hostages back, is focused on micromanaging one of our allies' war efforts, I guess so that he can placate these crazy people who are protesting on college campuses. But it's such a confused policy, and it makes people, I think, recognize that America, with Joe Biden at the helm, is unfortunately too weak.
It's not about too weak. It's about unwilling, but you at least do understand the issue, sir. Well done. Well played. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. This is, of course, the issue. We are going to get into some of the things we're seeing on campus because IU is having its issues. You've got statements from the mayor. You've got conversations about the Indiana State Police. The superintendent of the Indiana State Police is scheduled to be with me on Tony Katz today at noon. So I'm looking forward to that conversation, Doug Carter. But it's not just what's happening in the Acela corridor. Although if you look at a map, the vast amount of protests, feel the air quotes, regarding Israel are happening between Boston and D.C., or as we like to call it, Terrible Alley. The conversation never revolves around what was done, never revolves around the hostages, including American citizens. There have been video releases over the last few days from Hamas of Americans who are still hostages, not released, not rescued, still hostages over 200 days. And that, of course, is done to try and keep Israel from moving in on Rafah. That is the city to the south, right there. It's also the area of the Rafah Gate that brings you into the Sinai Peninsula and therefore into Egypt. You have these quote-unquote Palestinian leaders like Mahmoud Abbas, a terrorist in and of himself, trying to get Israel to stop that moment. Trying to get the U.S. to stop Israel from entering Rafah. I don't think it's going to happen. The Israelis have come this far. There's really nothing that shows that they're not going to go the rest of the way. Hamas is to be destroyed. Meanwhile, I could show you rocket attack after rocket attack after rocket attack still coming from Hamas and coming from Hezbollah in the north. None of it has stopped. Absolutely zero. The situation within Israel is a different situation than what we're having on college campuses. Israel is fighting for its survival and ending an enemy and a threat for what they hope is the very, very, very long term. We have to deal with the enemy that we built, that the college campus shows, and ask ourselves how we want to defeat it. Because just for the sake of clarity. Did I say hello, Tony Katz, 93 WIBC? That's me. It's the station. It's what we do here. Hey, how are you? Good to be with you. How's the coffee? I only hope it's good. Mine, a little creamy this morning. Creamy. We have a problem that is built on and predicated on the idea that somehow we, having our morning coffee, are bad people. Capitalism is bad. America is bad. We have to tear down the system. What we need is a socialist revolution. Oh, you don't believe me. It's too early to play the audio. It's too early to play the audio of these people screaming for a socialist revolution. We're just not going to do that. No. We simply can't be sharing that this... Oh, we have to share that this early in the morning. Oh, okay.
This wretched system. There's only one way. Just like that chant that we enjoy so much, there is only one solution. Intifada revolution.
That's George Washington University. Send your kids at your own risk. Intifada uprising, right? Which is, of course, violent from the so-called Palestinians. There have been two. We just like the Intifada revolution, we need a socialist revolution in the United States to end the United States as we know it. We've got our own issues. I'm supportive of Israel destroying Hamas. I'm supportive of Israel's existence. And for all the haters out there, I am a Zionist. I believe in Israel's right to exist. I believe in Israel's right to defend itself. I apologize for nothing. Well, why should I? But we should be clear that we've got different people with different issues. This is Israel's issue, and Israel should, as Senator J.D. Vance of Ohio explained, should finish the job. Of course they should. We have an issue in the United States with people who want to tear it all down. And these protesters are going to grow in violence. And they're not protesters. I don't even know what the proper term for them is. But they are wrong. And while free speech would be one thing, intimidation is something that should not be allowed on a college campus. Start firing the professors who support this, build this, and try to protect this. Pam Whitten should fire professors. And at NYU, they should fire professors. And at Columbia, they should fire professors. And I know what you're saying, Tony. They love this stuff. They believe in this stuff. They believe in this teardown, which, of course, is what we've been saying from the beginning. This isn't about Israel. This is about us. We've been saying it since October 8th. But there's no question that these people should all get fired. Be the university that fires these people for pushing violence, for pushing intimidation, for being despicable. You just don't want that in your organization. And you will see better days. Just going to take some people standing up. Oh, no, you've got the right to protest, sure. You just don't have a right necessarily to camp on the quad or prevent people from walking on campus with threats of violence. Just because of the blood that runs through their vein or the color of their skin or their sexual orientation or if they're wearing a dress and their name is Steve. What? We're not going to say it as it is anymore? Yeah, of course we are.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
I'm out of wandering, chasing a rainbow dream.
Today on the marketplace, think about who wants a fire truck? Where friendly folks can gather. I don't even know, like, can you drive this down the road? What do I do with it once I have it? But it's in Martinsville right now, and it could be yours. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. Great to be with you. It is a 1975 Oshkosh. I think it's an 1838 Detroit diesel engine, 85-foot ladder truck. And if you have a four-year-old boy, it's the greatest gift that ever existed. I mean, it's got the bucket. It has the ladder. This was from the Wabash Fire Department.
This would be a great gift for your kids as they go to prom. I mean, put them in the fire truck and say, go to prom. Yeah.
It's a little rusty. I'm not going to lie.
That's all right.
Right? According to this, it is the horns work, the sirens work, the ladders work, and the pumps are there.
This is a good time.
It's a $5,000 fire truck. But it's complete. Like, you could drive it down the road. Hold on. They have, like, the masks that the firefighters would wear, like, going into a fire. They have those. So, I mean, that's just an extra bonus.
I mean, could I fight fires with this? What are the rules on that? I buy the truck and, like, become a vigilante firefighter person.
First of all, that's not a thing.
Oh.
Secondly, the fire departments all across Indiana have called and asked that you not do that.
I mean, I maybe a couple of them did, but not all of them.
No, they do not want you, Matt Bear, fighting fires. They don't want that.
I don't blame them.
They have spoken. If you want to bring snacks, they're all down for snacks.
They're good people.
But please, don't be fighting fires. This is, by the way, exactly the argument I have against. What do I do with this? Where does it go? What purpose does it hold? You can't. No one would use it. It's an older truck. You wouldn't use it for fighting a fire in today's world. The technology's better and et cetera. So what do I do with this?
You turn it into a pop-up restaurant. That's what you do. Tony's Fire Brisket right there.
Brisket is not made. It's offset heat. You're not using fire. The fire is not touching the brisket.
You put that in the cab, man.
It's like you have never read my book.
I have your book at home. It sits on my
bed. You do not.
Yes, I do.
You have Let's Go Barbecue at home?
Yes, I do.
Did I buy it for you?
You signed it for me, actually.
Oh, okay. Well, all right.
I'm glad I leave an impression.
Yeah, that is. You were there. You were there at Sullivan Hardware and Garden, and we did a book signing a while back. We need to do another one. By the way, for Father's Day, Let's Go BBQ, Let's Go Barbecue, recipes, tips, and tales from the pit, available at Amazon.com. That should be on the marketplace.
It'd be a really good gift for Father's Day.
Actually. Right?
Yeah.
We will get some books, and we'll have them signed by Matt Bear, and we will sell them on the marketplace. See if they sell for more. I have no idea.
Fooled you.
Right? I read this book. It doesn't suck, Matt Bear.
Who the hell is Matt Bear?
Right, Matt Bear. And then signed by Matt Bear. The 1975 Detroit diesel engine 85-foot ladder truck. It is available. Only $5,000. And on the marketplace, if you come across good marketplace sales there, Facebook Marketplace, let me know. Let me know. People are doing weird things, and I like it. And you can send it to me, tony@tonycats.com, and we'll share them here. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning.
I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays.
As we mentioned earlier, there are so-called protests taking place on the campus of Indiana University. I don't know what they're protesting. It seems like they're not protesting Israel's actions in Gaza. Certainly, they don't have any issue with Hamas's actions in murdering people and kidnapping people. But what they seem to favor is the tearing it all down, something that we discussed from the beginning. And I put forth to you that the so-called protesters at Indiana University don't actually care what goes on in Israel. They care about the destruction here. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Great to be with you. As we have seen now over the weekend from schools all across the country, now there are encampments happening outside of colleges. Because why should only the college kids be able to get in on it? Then there's the reports that the people on the campuses aren't even associated with the colleges. The people at IU who are trying to scream about we need to divest from Israel, they don't know what they're saying. What they are is a violent ideology that is desperate to tear down what it is America is. And this is why I think that IU should take a look at professors who support this, defend this, and who have built this out and start firing professors. This goes back to Professor Sinnoh when he got suspended for getting a room for one of these types of groups. Now, he may be offended by my characterization, but I think that I'm close to the target there. If you've got a professor of any kind who is supporting those who want to tear down the country, push for socialist revolution, whatever the nonsense they're talking about, like they could ever run a country, like their system has ever worked. It never has, but they keep the lie up. And after all, if you're going to show that you're a good, decent person, you have to be upset about, well, everything, I guess. They're upset all the time. I don't know how they live this way, but, you know, they clearly like it. You shouldn't have that professor that you're doing your school no value. And as long as those professors exist, I think the donors should stop giving. Stop supporting this nonsense. There will be schools that love this nonsense. Let the loser students go there. Tell if their parents want them lost and shrinking their minds, send them there. Don't be that university. And IU should do better. Representative Matt Pierce out of Bloomington, Democrat, says, quote, "We have peaceful protesters who are not causing any problems on this campus whatsoever, and we have a university doing everything they can to suppress their speech. I've called the university's president, Witten's handling of this amateurish." We should distinguish between the ability to engage in protest as a right of citizens and what it is that they are so-called protesting. If Representative Pierce, Democrat, wants to say they have the right to protest, he would be accurate. If he's now supporting what they're saying and says that that is peaceful, well, then I would question Representative Pierce's view on not only reality, but on what's being said. And would he feel the same if they were stopping, let's say, black students from crossing a campus? Now, I cannot tell you that an IU, they're doing the same exact things they're doing at Columbia or NYU or George Washington or other places. I'm only telling you that it's going to come to that. And I would ask Representative Pierce a step further. If you're a Jewish student on campus, how are you feeling today? Do you question your safety when the university lets people who scream for your destruction scream for your destruction? Put your local legislator on the record on those kinds of topics. Find out who they are and what it is that they believe. What I think is interesting is that, and I had to put this out on X yesterday, because for some reason I decided to be a social media guy yesterday, that the mayor of Bloomington will not let police engage on the campus. The Bloomington Police Department will not take part in any arrests on the campus. That's for state police to do. And I made mention of this, and someone said, "Well, yeah, it's the campus. The local police probably wouldn't do anything on the campus anyway." And then I spoke to some people, they're like, yeah, the local police usually doesn't get involved in campus activities. If that's the case, why is the mayor making a statement at all? Why did the mayor of Bloomington, Carrie Thompson, why did she make a statement at all? Did she make a statement because she wanted to show who she stands with? She actually utilized words to that effect and then went back and tried to change those words a bit. My concern that Bloomington's gonna get worse is not ill-fated or is not, you know, a false concern. There's a reason to be worried.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
We'll be right back.
Annapolis, we have discussed the issues that come from those who are ideological trying to push that down our throats. Now, you say, well, Tony, you don't live in Indianapolis, so you don't have a say. Well, I think the argument could be said the other way. If you continue down these roads, who is actually going to live here? Well, those of us who want a world where we are safe from car accidents. You aren't safe from a car accident unless you end cars on the roads. Aha! This is, of course, where people are going with things like Vision Zero. Vision Zero is not about making things safer. Vision Zero is about ending cars on the road. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. They're already trying to implement it here in Indianapolis. It should be fought with everything in us. Of course, it's a terrible idea. These people who want the dedicated bus lanes for these electric buses, never mind the idea of electric buses, this isn't about helping people move about. This is about putting an end to cars. Anything that's called traffic calming is about putting an end to cars. This came from the Telegraph. There is, in the European Union, new tech. Cars are sold in the European Union and Northern Ireland with something called intelligent speed assist. It's going to prevent accidents. These devices will slow you down. So that way, by the way, speed assist is nothing more than speed slowing. Speed slowing eventually becomes times where we have too many cars on the road, so it's speed stopping. Don't tell me I can't talk about the slippery slope. Anybody who doesn't see this is nuts. Look for people in Indianapolis to be cheering this. It's all part of the same nonsense to keep you from being able to move about. Because after all, why should you be able to move about in a car? You should take the bus. You should take the centralized way of doing things. That'll keep you safe and save the environment. That you won't have freedom of mobility, well, that's just a wonderful, wonderful bonus. What happened to the Indy 11? What's going on with the city, with Major League Soccer? Ersal Özdemir, the owner of the Indy 11, is scheduled to be with us to talk about it next. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Does this mean then that the Indy 11 Park project idles? Does it move forward? The groundbreaking is done. That's a ceremonial thing. But do we now see things, or is it, let's stop until we figure this out?
Well, that's entirely up to my friend Ersal Özdemir. I mean, whether he wants to continue. I want to make
but
it clear.
But city support was very important for this.
Well, absolutely. And we're committed to building a soccer stadium that is soccer specific.
That is Mayor Joe Hogsett speaking on Wish TV to Scott Sander about bringing a Major League Soccer team to Indianapolis, which, well, was thought to be underway. After all, the Indy 11, which is plays in the USL, been here for over a decade. They play at IUPUI. They have played games before at Lucas Oil. And then we learned about this tax district that they had been working on creating to be able to have the funding to put together a stadium there at the Diamond Chain factory. Now, people could talk about, you know, funding of stadiums all they want. But the point is, on their way to Major League Soccer. Tony Katz, good to be with you. And then we learned that the mayor makes an announcement. I visited with Major League Soccer. We're doing this. But weren't they doing this with the Indy 11? Ersal Özdemir joins me right now. He's the owner of the Keystone Group and of the Indy 11. I appreciate you taking the time. This has been the big conversation in Indianapolis for the last few days since this announcement came. And one of the first questions that has been asked is, did you have a deal? Did the Indy 11 have a deal with the city of Indianapolis about bringing Major League Soccer to Indy, or at least agreeing on building what's known as 11 Park, the stadium with the retail and the everything else.
Good morning, Tony. Thanks for having me. I am excited to be here to talk about 11 Park. Obviously, I'm a Purdue engineer. I'm a builder. I'm a developer. And I want to just kind of talk about the facts today. Keystone is one of the largest real estate developers in Indiana, and we focus on transformational mixed-use developments. As you know, in the last recent years, downtown, we've invested over $250 million, you know, to building, redeveloping buildings, and we now own over almost 30 acres that we own and control downtown. So my goal is obvious. I'm a builder. I want to do that, and I want to build a transformational mixed-use development downtown. And that's our, what our goal has been, and that's what really we're focused on to do that. And obviously, for us, there's a right way to do this, is that we purchased a franchise. We looked around the country. There's a lot of cities that have a Division II teams, professional teams, like Cincinnati, Nashville, and Portland, and Seattle, and they've done the right thing to get to MLS. But when I purchased this team, over 10 years ago, and our goal was privately funded, myself, and we basically, as you said, played at Carroll Stadium. We showed the Indiana that soccer is the world's game, Indiana's team, and we will be successful in the long term. And then with the, what we've done, what we invested over the years, as you know, that we went to the State House in 2019 to show our vision. For those that, obviously, there's been so much happened since then, that just to recall, when we were at the State House, we talked about 11 Park being transformational neighborhood development. Soccer is the anchor tenant for that, for Ind 11, but it wasn't just about the soccer stadium, because that's what we do. Keystone does transformational neighborhood developments. And we talked about building apartments. We talked about building hotel, restaurants, retail. We shared our vision that we want to help transform downtown, as we've done it over 20-some years.
And the city, and we should state that the General Assembly agreed with this vision, and the legislation passed to create the specific tax districts to help these stadiums. When the groundbreaking took place, Mayor Joe Hogsett was there, Governor Eric Holcomb was there, officials were there. And it was certainly the belief of Indianapolis, of Hoosiers, that the city was working with the Indy 11, your team, to bring the stadium there and therefore work towards a Major League Soccer. The question people have is, what changed?
You know, obviously, again, I am focused on what I thought is the right way to do this, to build a transformational riverfront development. As you said, we have had so much support. This part of downtown has been neglected for a long time. If you see downtown north, east, every direction has been developed. We thought this will completely transform that. That's why we have so much support from the public for this. Everybody's been very excited. And after the legislation passed, right, not only that, we basically went and acquired property privately, and that property that I'm willing to give it to the city towards the stadium. And obviously, we got a lot of public input. How do we create a transformative area for the city to do that? We've done everything that we said we were going to do in 2019 when we asked for state support. More than that, we've actually able to acquire more land around it to make a bigger impact for the city, and the project has even gotten larger than what we said we will do in 2019. So the legislation passed to support 11 Park, didn't have really MLS requirement, and because it's a lot bigger than that. Stadium is actually a small component of the whole project. The real estate is privately financed, so we've kind of followed through the process, what we think is the right way to get this project done, to have a chance to have an MLS design stadium. The stadium has been designed. We're about 40% complete on the design. Then obviously we acquired the site. We had a groundbreaking, as you mentioned it. And then with that old understanding, we started tearing the buildings down. The site is now ready to be built. We've hired architects for that, privately funding that. So this is really the best place and quickest place, if you're going to go anywhere, to get it done, because we are ready to build. We're ready to build now, not just the stadium, but it's 11 parks to transform that part of downtown.
So let's discuss that. Talking to Ersal Özdemir, the owner of the Indy 11, Mayor Hogsett says he met with Major League Soccer. 4 days later, he makes the announcement that Indianapolis is going for a Major League team. And now they have a new proposed map taking your site, the Diamond Chain site, out of that map, moving it over and making this change. Have you spoken with Mayor Hogsett about, hey, why aren't we working together on this?
As the mayor mentioned on his interview that you just played, we are one of the largest developers. As you know, we worked with mayor's administration successfully recently, and mayor is a friend, and I have had a great relationship with the mayor. So I am not quite sure. You're going to have to ask the administration why they decide to choose this site or the area they want to do. But I guess I'm talking about really the currently. There is already legislation in place. The council has passed in December to build 11 Park at 11 Park location in Diamond Chain. We have the community support, and we are ready to build that. So it is MLS eligible stadium. It is the quickest way to do that. I am also excited to hear that the mayor is supportive of MLS. As you know, we've been saying this since we started it. We do need a stadium for Indy 11, regardless, you know, to have a great product, to provide the best services to our constituents, our supporters, or everybody in Indiana. But we've said it before. I'm excited. The mayor actually wants to bring MLS to Indianapolis. This isn't really, we're on the same page. We have the site. I bought that. I'm willing to give the land, and I am willing to sit down with the mayor today and continue work together to. If that is the also vision of the city, we are aligned on that. We're not sure why there's another site option. You're going to have to ask that to the administration as well. But we are ready to sit down with the city, to work with them to create this transformational mixed-use development on the riverfront to do more than just a stadium, but create thousands of jobs, create a neighborhood, connect the west side and south side of downtown, and really change the skyline of the city for not just people go to soccer games, for the new headquarters, Elanco, Fortune 1000 being built across the street, the zoo fans across the street, the Lucas Oil events, Colts, and any events, concerts are there. You're a block away. You're going to have restaurants and apartments and walkable. Indians is a block away. The White River right. Park is a block away. So we're going to transform not only that, but also be the catalyst to finally to activate the river that we've all been talking about it, and be part of the state of Indiana's vision to activate White River Park as well.
Before I let you go, because we only have so much time, I want to address something that was brought up when this announcement got made by Mayor Joe Hogsett. Some of the usual suspects of the journalist class of Indianapolis said that this simply means that Ersal Özdemir and the Indy 11 didn't have the money to go with Major League Soccer. It's a $500 million buy-in. You've got $1 billion that it's probably going to take for a stadium, and you've already said that number. Allow me to ask the hard question. Does the Indy 11 have the $500 million that it would take to buy into Major League Soccer?
Well, Tony, as we said before, and maybe I should have mentioned that I have done this on my own privately for almost 10 years. Maybe it's not as clear, it's on our website, but I've recently added, to do it right way, you need local ownership group. This is Indianapolis, this is our town, and I've brought in some of the most respected Indiana families. They're born and raised here to be part of my own ownership group. You can look it up, their name, Salem family, Hageman family, Ricker family. So collectively, obviously, these are great families that are willing to invest to make sure that we have all the resources to do the stadium as well as the real estate development. And if there's an opportunity for MLS, again, MLS, it isn't just you write a check, you bring MLS. You have to have all the ingredients to be available, like a local ownership group, like a stadium deal, like do that. And this is all we have been doing. We've been, since day one, follow the basis of the right way to do this, to build the team, build the fan base, you know, get a legislation passed, then buy the land, get it designed and work with the cities to do that. We've done everything for us until we get to this point to get us become eligible for MLS. And so obviously we've done all the work to get it here to do that. That would have been our next push, is that after the stadium is finalized, which we're hoping that it's done now, then we will be putting all the efforts and resources towards an MLS franchise to do that.
Ersal Özdemir, owner of the Indy 11, I appreciate you taking the time. I have many more questions, and we may need to do this again and sooner rather than later. Ersal Özdemir, Indy 11, thank you so much. I apologize for the delay, everybody.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
I'll have more on that interview with Ersal Özdemir coming up in a little bit. What I heard him say. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. We should be clear that Kristi Noem will not be the vice presidential nominee of Donald Trump. The governor of South Dakota has removed herself from contention after admitting in a book that she shot her 14-month-old dog, to which people said, "I'm sorry, what now?" While I am somebody who thinks that people go overboard with their pets, I believe that's a kind way of me saying how I feel. People love their pets, and I do not deny that that is true, and I do not deny that a pet is worth loving. Your dog, your cat, whatever it may be, they love them. They love them. And when people kill people, these are the people who might say that's awful. You kill an animal, they lose their minds. Well, there's an excerpt of Kristi Noem's book where she says the dog had an aggressive personality and could not be trained and could not be controlled. The dog tried to bite me, and so the dog had to be put down, and that she did it. And some people might say, well, it shows the strength. I only know what I know. This will be the only subject if she's the vice presidential nominee. Nothing else will get discussed ever. It'll be shades of Mitt Romney with the dog on the roof. I don't understand any part of it. All I know is what I know. Kristi Noem is not in the running. She's not in the running. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. I expected him to come in hotter, but maybe he was trying to say something different. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. The Podcast Center has everything we do. Do not miss a show. Do not miss a segment from everything from Tony Katz in the Morning News or Tony Katz Today. It is all there at WIBC.com. You can just click on the Podcast Center, a little banner there, and boom. There it is. Easy to find, easy to get to. This saga about Major League Soccer is not actually about soccer. And this is where I want everybody to make the differentiation in their head. This is about the city. This is about Indianapolis. And really, this is about the future. Indianapolis can thrive, in my view, without MLS. So let's not think that somehow this is the one thing we need for success. I believe Indianapolis can have success, but as we discuss very, very often, success has to come from a vision. The vision of Indianapolis has been sports. And it has been outrageously successful. They write books about what India has done. It cannot be denied. The success of sports comes from building a stadium without a team. I mean, that is a crazy level of faith. It's an insane move. And yet, it's part of the Indianapolis lore. It makes sense that people would want to build on that. I think doing things like the swim trials here, as we're doing that this summer, all these things are good things on that smaller side, on the amateur side, and on that professional side. I have made the argument that it cannot be only sports, which is why I have for forever favored a performing arts center in downtown Indianapolis. You need things that can happen for families and others outside of the sports bar culture. If you're coming here for a conference, for a convention, it's laid out for you. If you're coming here as a family, it is a more difficult process. So you need more things for people to come down for. Performing Arts Center, museums, those kinds of things. And this is what I have favored. I'm a fan of the Indy 11. I am. I have a full disclosure. I have a friendship with Ursula Ozdemir. I won't lie about that. But I am not afraid to ask a question because you come first and the job comes first and everybody knows it. Just moments ago, we had him on the show to discuss what was happening because here it is, the Indy 11, this tax district that the Indy 11 has been working on, that the General Assembly passes. The building of what's going to be known as 11 Park at the Diamond Chain Complex, right across from Lucas Oil Stadium. It would be a stadium, it would be retail, it would be apartments. And clearly, the move for the Indy 11 to try to go MLS, Major League Soccer. Well, the next thing you know, there's Joe Hogsett making an announcement, all by himself, by the way. No members of the City County Council, no members of his team, saying that he's going to apply for a Major League Soccer team. They then move the tax district so it no longer is where Ursula Ozdemir's plan is. It's like they cut him out completely. And I don't know why. And of course, one of the questions was, well, or I should say one of the statements from the pseudo-intellectual said, he doesn't have the money for the team. Right? And they didn't know. They have no data to prove their argument. They just say it. According to Ursula Ozdemir, they have got the people, they've got the families, and they've got the financing. That's the way I took that. In off-the-record conversations, background that I've had with a lot of people, that's not the issue here. So you can have a conversation about the idea of whether you like soccer or not. Sure, go ahead, knock yourself out. You can have a conversation about whether or not there should be these special tax districts that help fund the stadium. That's a worthy conversation, and that's in its own silo. The question before us is, why did Joe Hogsett do what he did? Why is the Indy 11 seemingly being cut out? And the part that I was kind of thought different than I expected from Ursula Ozdemir, owner of the Indy 11, I expected him to come in hotter. That was a guy who was saying, we want to build a stadium. We've been doing this. Let's work together. Let's do the thing. Let's bring a team. Let's go. That was a guy saying, I don't know what's going on, but with Hogsett, I still want to do this thing. Let's do this thing. So he did not come in as hot and as aggressive as I actually was expecting seeing this move from Hogsett. So now it goes back to Joe Hogsett to answer the question of why did you make this move? Because his interview with Scott Sander on Wish TV doesn't say anything. Why did you go about this move? What ownership group do you have? Why is it not possible at Diamond Chain? What was the point of this? This had to be done so publicly? Now I invite Joe Hogsett onto the show to discuss it. I have no idea. He once told me that he listens. Well...
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Here we are, having this conversation, and one that goes very deep, sir, because the one thing we haven't discussed is the idea of trust. Did the Indy 11 believe that the city was a partner, and did the partner just pull the rug out from under them? And if that's the case, who trusts future deals with the city? And is that the legacy, Joe Hogsett, that you were expecting to create for yourself? Call in. Happy to discuss it. The International Criminal Court is going after Israel and not Hamas, because why would they ever do something like that? They want to make the statement, does the court, that what Israel is doing in response to the attacks from Hamas is wrong, and that the ICC could actually issue warrants, arrest warrants against Netanyahu and other officials. So the Prime Minister, Benjamin Netanyahu, says it doesn't matter what the ICC says. It's not going to affect Israel's actions. Under my leadership, Israel will never accept any attempt by the International Criminal Court in The Hague to undermine its basic right to defend itself. That's the statement from Netanyahu. But there's a follow-up to which whether or not the United States is somehow accepting of this. Joe Biden would accept such a thing? As is reported by the Jerusalem Post, where is Joe Biden? Why is he quiet while Israel will potentially be thrown under the bus? Well, Israel should be used to this. Exactly, that's exactly what the UN does. But we have seen now that Joe Biden is not interested in the American hostages. Joe Biden is not interested in the safety and security of democracies. Joe Biden is interested in re-election and has an absolute fear of this radical element that is now mainstreaming itself within the Democratic Party. We'll follow this and see where it goes. And of course, it's Senator John Fetterman who is leading the way in the Senate saying, I'm with Israel and you're all crazy. You're all just out of your mind. More on that on Tony Katz today at noon. The Pacers, with the victory against the Milwaukee Bucks, 126-113. The overtime win on Friday was good. I think this win, as I was saying earlier, demoralizing for the Bucks. You know, the Pacers have had the Bucks number all season. They lose that first game, and clearly they said, oh yeah, we can't have this. And they have been on it ever since. I think last night's win, I should have gone to that game. Why didn't I go to that game? I think last night's game is a big one. Game five will be on Tuesday there in Milwaukee. And let it end there. I mean, certainly if they want a game six it in Indy, they're more than welcome to. But game five ending would be all right, for sure. We go inside Indiana business. Gary Dick up next with all the latest. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning. So somehow, quietly last week, Amazon puts $11 billion near South Bend. And Google is adding another $2 billion to its center, data center in Fort Wayne. You know that I'm a believer that in order for Indianapolis to do well, these other cities need to do well because Indy needs competition. Meta is putting $800 million plus into a data center in Jeffersonville. So now all of a sudden, Indiana is the data center capital. It's not a bad thing, is it? Gary Dick joins us from InsideIndianaBusiness.com on X at IIB. Let's talk about these 1-2-3 deals. You got the $11 billion out of Amazon up north. You're going to have the $2 billion from Google in Fort Wayne. And then you've got almost $1 billion in Jeffersonville. So we're really traversing the state here. Give me the basics on all three of these deals.
Well, it was a big week, to be sure, Tony, last week. And these announcements came one after the other last week. And one that isn't related to data and data centers is Toyota investing $1.5 billion in Princeton to add production down there and 340 jobs. But back on the data center deal, you know, Indiana was not competitive for a long time. And there was a lot of consternation. We saw a big investment from Intel go to Ohio and not to Indiana here a year plus ago or so. And there was a lot of concern about that and talk about that. And it was a few years back that the Indiana legislature made some changes to state law, some incentives that make it more attractive for data centers to look at Indiana for investment, like they have in other states, you know, like Virginia. Even Ohio has attracted certainly a lot of investment there. And that those changes to state law have really made a difference. You talked about the big announcements that have been made just within the last couple of months. Most recently, the $11 billion deal from Amazon last week in New Carlisle near South Bend. That's the largest and by far the largest economic development deal in state history, expected to add about 1,000 jobs there. Earlier, and we were there for the announcement in Jeffersonville, where Meta, which is essentially the parent for Facebook and Instagram and some other platforms, putting a big data center in the River Ridge Commerce Center there. And Google, again, these obviously are huge global names in the tech world. Google investing more than $2 billion in Fort Wayne in a data center. And I'm told, you know, there is potentially more investment to come along with these, because the piece that is interesting, too, are the suppliers and the vendors and the like-minded industries that tend to follow and to cluster with these kinds of investment.
One of the things that gets mentioned is, you know, Toyota and this battery plant, right? Another $1.4 billion is going to Princeton. With how things are turning with electric vehicles, certainly the marketplace has said, look, you can sell them, but that doesn't mean we're going to buy them. You have government force on the idea of electric vehicles. You see states engaged in mandates about not selling anything that has a combustion engine. Does Indiana still look at the growth of these battery plants as a smart future, or do they look at that as a limited opportunity?
I think if you talk to officials with the Indiana Economic Development Corporation and others in state government, I think they see, as other states do, that this is a good approach, a good path forward, if you will. But the things you point out, I think, are valid, and the adoption of electric vehicles. I think most people are in agreement that this is going to happen over time, but perhaps not nearly as quickly as some people would suggest, in part because of the infrastructure that doesn't exist for the electrification of the auto industry. So I think that states like Indiana, and you can you know, point to other states here in the Midwest that are getting some of these big electric vehicle battery investments, are going to continue to pursue them, because the automakers, domestic and global, continue to invest.
Talking to Gary Dick, InsideIndianaBusiness.com on X at IIB. Okay, let's make it a little personal now, Gary. You have been doing this for a great number of years. You invented Inside Indiana Business. You've seen great success with the website and with the television show, and then the merging with the IBJ. You know the players. You've seen it all. Let's talk Indianapolis, or Saul Ozdemir, Joe Hogsett, the Indy 11 of Major League Soccer.
Yep.
You know these people. you know these players. You have broken bread with these people. So there is no way that this is not one way or another a conversation that somebody isn't going to text you and say either thank you, Gary, or come on, Gary. Like one way or another, you're going to get this. I'm very happy to put you on the spot at this very, very moment. If you were describing the last 96 hours, if you were describing what it is, the move that Joe Hogsett made, the response that you heard earlier from Ersal Ozdemir, owner of the Indy 11, on this show, and that's up at WIBC.com, and you were describing this to a layman, what the hell is happening?
Great question. I would say a bit of chaos. Certainly, surprise. Over the weekend, I've been at a couple of events, and that's the question I get asked most, or was asked most over the weekend, is what happened. What is your take on what transpired with Indy 11 Park and the move by the mayor? And the short answer I have is I don't know. It was as this came down on Thursday, Tony, it was interesting because we got an advisory that the mayor is going to have a big announcement about the future of sports in Indianapolis later that day. And then we get word, and my colleague Mickey Shuey at the IBJ, I think, broke the story that the city was pulling its support for the Indy 11 project. And we immediately thought, gosh, is there another deal in the works, which obviously was the case. But there's so many questions surrounding this. At the news conference on Thursday, the mayor gave a statement, but then I was not there, but I don't believe took any questions at all.
None. He took no questions.
Yeah, leaving a lot of people wondering, with a lot of questions. So I think a lot of question marks. Who is this group? Who is this this investor group that apparently has been put together? What does the future? I'm interested too, and I hope my friends at Elanco will give me a call. I'd be interested to hear the reaction from the folks at Elanco, who are making a major investment across White River there from the Indy 11 project, and what they think of this development. So
let me change it around. Maybe let me ask the question this way, right? So you have no inside knowledge on the deal itself,
right?
When you understand the business community in Indianapolis and Central Indiana, when you see that announcement from Mayor Hogsett, is there a concern amongst business owners that maybe this was haphazard or rushed and certainly not done in a way that is standard Indiana, which is plotting, right? Indiana takes its time and they don't rush into things, but when they do it right, right? That's the mantra for so many in Indiana. Did this smack of doing it right?
I think it's too early to tell, but I think, and to your point about the way that in Indiana, and in particular Indianapolis, gets things done, and I think that might give people some confidence that things are headed in the right direction. If you look at so many deals that have gotten done over the years here that didn't look like they would get done, whether it was, Gainbridge Fieldhouse bringing the NCAA to Indianapolis, whatever the case might be, they got done by the players, the key players, the players that needed to get together, getting together and getting things done. So I think there's a hope that is happening, and whatever way this shakes out, that will be the case. But right now, the proverbial many more questions than answers at this point.
Well, I that is Gary Dick right there from InsideIndianaBusiness.com. I would wonder whether there is if you're someone creating deals with the city of Indianapolis and you take a look at this maneuver, how do you feel about creating?
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Future deals with the city of Indianapolis, I do question the trust, and I'm happy to have that conversation with you in the future. Yeah. Gary Dick, InsideIndianaBusiness.com.
Real quick, I think it's going to come out. I think those things are going to begin. They always do. They begin to leak out, and who's involved in what way, and those types of things. So I think in the week ahead, maybe a few things that come out, and we can start putting those pieces together.
Let's find out. Let's hope so. Gary Dick, appreciate you taking the time. InsideIndianaBusiness.com.
How bad is it?
Don't sugarcoat it. Give it to me straight.
Want coffee?
I think I need some coffee.
Time to fill up on the news. Tony Katz and 93 WIBC. Good morning. Good to be with you. Dow futures up 50. NASDAQ futures are up 70. West Texas Intermediate, that's oil people, is at $83.26 a barrel. Brent crude, $88.74. Both are down right now. The 10-year Treasury note, still over 4.6, which means the 30-year fixed at a national average of 7.31%. Mortgage rates going up. That's where we're at. It was Elon Musk in China, you know, just checking out the scene, also trying to get more Teslas sold. In China, they're up 12% in the pre-market. They want to get full driving available in China. It's an upgrade to Tesla's autopilot driver assistant. And yesterday, for the first time, I had my first run-in with the Cybertruck. Looked inside, checked out the outside. All that money, and you couldn't figure out, Elon, how to not leave fingerprints? On it, that's my takeaway. The fingerprints are freaking everywhere. Also, it's a weird-looking vehicle from the outside. It is super, super weird. The inside actually looks quite beautiful. It is sparse. This is a black interior. I don't know if it even comes in other colors. It is sparse. It is. And that's part of, I think, the allure. But there's size in it. Like, there is room to spread out inside the Cybertruck. The audience for it? People who desperately want to be the people who have a Cybertruck. I'm not even saying that's a bad thing. There's an audience for that with many different things. There's people who just want to have it. It's true with watches. It's true with purses. It's true with all sorts of things. I'm not saying no to it. I am saying that you got to want it. It's weird. It is weird to look at. It looks very comfortable on the inside. But the whole fingerprint thing, you're going to spend however many, it's $70,000 in fingerprints? It's like the Lombardi Trophy. I have never understood at all the Lombardi Trophy. You win the Super Bowl, you get the Lombardi Trophy. Here is this thing. It's on the pedestal. It's got the football, and it's the pinnacle of sports. And then somebody puts their hands on it, and it's a ridiculous mess. Does it have to be like chromed out? We couldn't do a matte finish on the thing? The where you hold it, right? On the pedestal part. Just make it easier. We have technology. We could put a man on the moon. All right, we used to be able to put a man on the moon. We don't do that anymore. We developed OnlyFans. We can't figure out how to have a spot-free technology for the Lombardi Trophy. We are nuts. That's the Lombardi Trophy, the cyber truck. Things that you may want. But honestly, the fingerprints doesn't make any sense. Any sense at all. The whole thing is nutty. That said, I hope if you have one, I hope you enjoy it. I really do. Certainly, it seems like fun. It seems like something that one would enjoy. You know? I don't know why I would take the Cybertruck over the Lightning. And that's not just because Andy Moore Ford is a sponsor and Tesla isn't. I would just much rather have the F-150 Lightning over the Tesla Cybertruck. I said it. I was brave enough to do so. Honestly, was that gratuitous for Andy Moore Ford? In Plainfield, AndyMooreFord.com. Was that gratuitous too? Would someone please let me know when I'm getting just a wee bit silly? And I could stop talking about the great deals and pricing over at Andy Moore Ford in Plainfield. Let me. Okay. Happy to help. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC. Good morning.
We've already said
protesters want amnesty? Go now. Hold on, turn off the music. I don't even know what this means. I thought that was a misprint when I saw someone, I don't know if it was on social, I got an email. The protesters want amnesty? I swear to you, I don't know what any of this means at all. Tony Katz, 93 WIBC, good morning. Of course, we've seen it all across the college campuses, and it's happening outside of college campuses now. And it is violent, and it will get more violent. And these people don't care about Palestinians or Gaza. They care about destruction. We know this. They want to tear it all down. They can say anything they want, but it doesn't matter. We see them. You have two choices in all of this. Believe what you know to be true with your eyes or believe what they tell you. These are your options. You're smarter than this. You know it. Well, this is about Israel's poor treatment of. No, it's not. These are the George Floyd freaks who all just want to protest because everything is terrible and only they know how to make it better. They don't know how to make anything better. They're 20. They don't know how to make anything better. The only thing they can make better is that weird thing your iPhone is doing. After that, they can't. They got to learn how. Somebody had stated to me, when have these college protests throughout history ever been wrong? Wow. That's a theory. You have to be 25 to run for Congress, 30 to run for Senate, and 35 to run for president. But we should trust the 19-year-old who just got to IU and has decided that wearing a keffiyeh makes them special. Good Lord. We are not. Let me ask these people a question. I can't play the audio for this. There's way too much cursing. But on UCLA's campus, this woman shows up and says, I'm Native American. Hamas supporters are not welcome on native land. That's just great. That is glorious. Way to stand up. Yeah, the Hamas supporting students attacked her. Physically attacked her. So when a 17-year-old kid named Nicholas Sandman says nothing to a Native American banging a drum in his face. Remember that was D.C.? The kid didn't do anything. The kid's terrible. The kid's awful. He smirked. The guy banging the drum in his face is a known agitator, known problem to police, and a jerk face. All they wanted to do was punch Nick Sandman in the face. He's a 17-year-old kid. Here are these Hamas supporters, these people who want to burn down American society, attacking a Native American woman. And you won't hear MSNBC say a word. You can actually believe them or you can believe reality. I would say believe reality. These people are terrible. And what they want to do is burn it all down. But they don't want to pay a price for it. That's where this amnesty thing comes in. So this is the Associated Press with the story. That the students want amnesty, meaning they don't want to be held responsible for their actions. Will they be allowed to take final exams, financial aid, graduation? Well, we already know that USC canceled graduation. Why would you cancel graduation? Well, we can't guarantee everybody's safety. Tell me again about how these people are decent people and how they're peaceful protests. You can't guarantee safety. It's not a peaceful protest. You know how many Tea Party rallies back in the day I organized and attended, spoke at? Yeah, we had a police presence. Well, of course, because the other people were nutty, the ones who would counter-protest. No fights, no anything. People just cleaned up after themselves and went home. These people are not, they're willing to scream and yell, and they want to destroy things. At one college, they took over a dorm. And so what did they do? It's vandalism all down the hallways. They just destroy things everywhere they go. They're not interested in a better society. They're interested in tearing it down. So here you have all these actions, and they don't want to lose out on their scholarship, and they don't want to lose out on this or that. And yet somehow at Columbia, these protesters have demands, and the university's like, well, we have our demands and they have theirs. They're students. They have no demands. This is one of the big misnomers. Well, they have freedom of speech. Sure they do. But they have a code of conduct, and if they want to attend the university, they better act right. The university doesn't owe them anything. It doesn't owe them this. And of course, this should all be put down. If they want to act like this on a street corner, they're more than welcome to. I don't know if you can camp out there, but if you want to hold signs and protest, go right ahead. Go right ahead. No one should stop you. No one should be even thinking of stopping you. But you the idea that you have free speech on a college campus, you could do this. You can believe their insanity or you can believe your eyes. But the fact that they want it with no punishment whatsoever, that's the best part. That's what this is all about. They don't actually want to sacrifice. They won't sacrifice. These professors get arrested at Emory and other places, and they somehow think that, how dare the police? Well, I only hit the officer lightly in the head. That was an actual professor getting arrested. Can you believe what they're doing to me? She was cuffed. They're taking her away. Can you believe what they're doing to me? I just hit the cop lightly in the head. I ask you, how many times do you think you could hit a cop lightly in the head before you got arrested? That's right. Maybe one. Maybe once. No. If the student gets arrested or suspended and that's a violation, expel them from the school. Keep their money. But for the students who are like, you're telling me now I have to go virtual. No. You didn't provide a safe environment. I want my money back. They should get their money back. And for any school thinking of canceling graduation, honestly, I'm going to sleep fine either way. But if you give in to these people, you're nuts. And students should then change where they go to school. Don't go to colleges and universities that give in to these people, these dangerous, awful, bigoted, terrible people.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.